This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, Kusu Chuang, Julian Ng, and myself, Sharad Kutin, with the top business stories of the day. Remember, after the 8 a.m. bulletin, we're going to be speaking to Lim Kok Hing. He's the founder and executive director of iPay 88. And he's going head-to-head with you, Chuang, on the question of digital platforms, payment
systems, yeah. So, you know, his company is about 10 years old now. And, very interestingly, without wanting to preempt the, the rivetingness of my interview.
Oh, my goodness.
But
there's spoilers, is it, to be had?
But very intriguingly, he went regional, two or three years into his inception. And I think that was quite a good move in the sense that, even before Head of the Curve, the Khazanah National and people like that want to internationalize local businesses. He went to Jakarta, he went into Thailand. So we talk a little bit about, the challenges of going regional. And I think quite interestingly, because he's one of the tech entrepreneurs, under the Ernst & Young Entrepreneurial annual contest. So he's up there and discussing all that. But also intriguingly, we also talk about how mobile payments and basically how your smartphone will be the de facto device that you bring with you in the future. That's all very interesting and very exciting and also very scary.
And also there is the onset of e-commerce as well, right? And the business business at the speed of thought is something that Bill Gates wrote about 20 years ago. It's coming to reality today. Tonight, you think about a business that you want to do. Tomorrow, you can set up a business online, and you need a payment mechanism for that to direct money into your wallets and your bank account.
Yeah.
It's actually quite fascinating at the recent Health and Living event that we had. I just visited for a short while, but there was something like a kind of Facebook group called Mums That Care, or Caring Mums, I think Caring Mums it's called. Yeah. And the kind of incomes that have been generated through this platform for the individual mothers who are no longer in the workforce but who can work from home is extraordinary. People are making, and I was talking to the founder, and she would say, because they always put up in this cherry picking your success stories, right? But it's like 60,000 ringgit a month from selling milk.
No kidding.
Selling milk, yeah. Amazing. Very interesting. But anyway, so we there's so many
sounds
more.
Sounds like one of those email spams that I get, how to make 3,000 ringgit a day or something.
Yeah, it does sound a bit like that. But in fact, it's a growing platform for people who are setting up businesses from home. And clearly a payment system is going to be of value to them, right? Now, we have Astro, KLK, and Eco World in our sights for this morning. Let's start with Astro.
Yeah, so the kickoff theme for the local news part is basically the mergers and acquisitions. And the latest story from the Star Online and Star Business is that insider sources being cited as saying that Astro might be taken private again. As we know, they relisted a couple of years ago at $3 a share, which was something like 24 times earnings, said to be quite expensive. And EPF, of course, at the time famously spurned the option to be a cornerstone investor. Well, since then, Astro's IPO price has been the watershed of their performance, because it's been below $3 ever since.
Two something right now.
So it's been
actually the lowest. Not right now, but hit a low of 234 in November.
234, yeah.
2012.
So the thing is, right, it's within Ananda Krishnan's prerogative to take Astro private. And he's taken private and he relisted it again. He's done the same thing with Bumi Armada. He's done the same thing with Maxis Communications. So, although it's within the purview of the major shareholder to continually do these things to accrue shareholder value for himself, it might not be so good for the long-term investor or for long-term investment planning. So maybe the regulators can come in and start putting some parameters to this whole exercise. The story is true, because it's only citing sources now.
Yeah, and so going back to the principle of whether a company should be privatized at the whims of the major shareholder or not, I think that if you feel that your company is undervalued, then, as you say, Chuang, there is a prerogative to take that private and to relist it. But looking at the situation today, a very high competition. We got the likes of Netflix and iFlix in the market today, and then we have everybody else, Star Media Group going into online content as well, along with the other players, Tonton. Everyone is focusing on some other thing. So Astro is facing a very competitive environment. I would like to see if this is privatized, how is the new Astro is going to be reshaped or rebranded when it is relisted a few years later, because Ananda Krishnan is a smart guy and he wants to make money out of this.
Well, yeah, okay, so the market might be pricing Astro as such, but, you know, they've got interesting value embedded in the system. I mean, if you look at their basically online shopping platform is doing really well. I think it's called GoShop. They've also got interesting intellectual property value with Celestial. I think that's all their backlog of, their inventory of movies and TV series, and very much Asian focus. So that's a good trove for them. But you're right, the market seems to perceive them as basically underdogs to the emerging Netflix, iFlix streaming service providers. So,
and also there's something to be said about the long-term versus short-term of between shareholders and managers, right? Long-term managers are quite long-term, so they might want to do things in the short-term that would not be very palatable to short-term shareholders who are only interested in the performance of the share price. So if they privatize it and if they offer a price that is substantially higher from today, Chuang, I don't know if you and I would actually, if we were minority shareholders, take that deal or hold out for better prices.
Well, just one last note to that Astro phenomenon. A lot of staff and employees were, I think coerced would be a strong word, but it was something along those lines to take up the Astro offer when they went IPO. So for them to be re-offered to, to exit that particular exercise might not be unpalatable for them. But also, also in terms of the M&A theme, KL Kapong basically has seen their latest offer being spurned for MP Evans. So they came back to the MP Evans board with an improved £7.40 offer for MP Evans, which has been since spurned. And, this is very interesting for MP Evans, because that £7.40 offer is a massive 74% premium to the last traded price on the FTSE. And for them to say, look, this current offer grossly undervalues MP Evans' asset base is, very good, I guess, for shareholders of MP Evans being told that actually your business is worth so much more than that.
Not to digress, but the global M&A story, of course, now affected by the Trump presidency, I think perhaps things on whole, especially with Chinese entities wanting to buy into American firms. I mean, that seems to be much of the talk on kind of business news feeds, right? What's going to happen to these deals and desires for acquisitions?
Yeah, I think it's something that America has to consider very seriously as a form of policy. Again, we go back to trade protectionism. That's the big question. Is Trump really going to call his own bluff, right, and really go that direction and choke off a lot of the extra funding that can come from abroad?
Well, basically, it's interesting because Trump is a businessman. And if you listen to his acceptance speech, he said, we'll do business with countries that want to do business with us. We'll do business with countries that we like if they like us. So the thing is, Ray Dalio of Bridgewater has said that the two biggest impediments to American growth in the last few years has been A, poorly structured trade agreements, and B, very low private sector growth. If we can address those two issues and say to China, hey, we'll do business, but on fairer terms from here on in, it could be very interesting. And Kun Yuyin might be right. It depends on how it's all going to be structured, and therefore we need details. But just to return to this MP Evans issue, let's not forget that it wasn't that long ago, maybe one and a bit years, that the sterling was over 6 to the ringgit. And now, even after the latest recovery in the sterling, it's still about 5.40, 5.45 or something, 5.35. So it's still very cheap, and it still continues to be cheap for KLK to come back to the table with an improved offer. Of course, this latest one is said to be final, but if there's a new offer on the table for MP Evans, KLK can still raise the offer price one more time.
I just like this little bit of information. MP Evans was founded by Matthew Penn Father Evans in 1870 to invest in rubber and plantation assets around Southeast Asia.
Yeah, interesting.
A relic from the colonial past.
Oh, warms the cudgels of my heart, the cuckles of my heart, rather. EcoWorld and EPF are teaming up to develop a 2,000-acre piece of land in the northwestern Klang Valley Corridor in Kuala Selangor. What do we make of that news?
I think number one, property is still very much in vogue. Number two, funding is key because EPF is taking a 40% stake here and supplying a 367 million ringgit advance. And you know, even with the Echo World International IPO, where about 2 billion ringgit is being sought from investor, they have roped in Guokoland as a 27% cornerstone investor. So it does show you that I think the people behind Echo World has the ideas, but they still need money, right, to implement those ideas.
Absolutely, absolutely. This is really the Liu Kee-sin rainmaker effect, because if you've seen SP Sertia shares ever since Liu's departure some years ago, it's all kind of gone flat, you know, like the air has been let out of a balloon. All that fairy dust has shifted over to Echo World.
Okay, we'll have more after the news at 8 a.m. Of course, we have the Breakfast Grill, and that's Chuang going to head-to-head with Lim Kok Hing, founder and executive director of IP88. Now the news, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.